The Incomparable, number 532, September 2020.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Incomparable, a podcast where we draft things almost every week, it seems, at this point. I'm Jason Snell, your host. I love to draft things, and that's why we do it this way. I also love Star Trek, and this is the Star Trek character draft, in which my panelists, the seven people who are joining me on this massive, giant-sized podcast, and myself, too. I'll pick last in each round. We're going to pick characters from Star Trek and form them together into a group of characters that would have an interesting interaction, perhaps in an episode or a series that they would star in. And that's all of the prep that I've given to my panelists, who I'm now going to introduce to you in the order in which they will pick in this draft. First, I can't believe this, first-time Incomparable panelist, but longtime editor of many podcasts you've listened to, including some on the Incomparable Network, and he will get the first pick. It's Jim Metzendorf. Jim, welcome. Congratulations. You will be picking first.
Jolan True, everyone.
Calla Moraine. Oh, no. That's not. No. Move along home, everyone. Picking second will be David J. Lohr.
Shaka, when the walls fell.
Save that to the end, probably. Picking third, Moises Chuyan.
I do all this podcasting, Jason, but you know what the sad part is? I'm a very good tailor.
Choosing fourth will be Cicero Holmes.
You don't have a Vulcan chance in Stovacor against my picks.
Have more rectigino. Or maybe cut back on the rectigino would probably be
appropriate. I was going to say.
Yeah. Jimmy Donald is going to pick fifth. Hello.
Hello. Well, the past is the future. The future is the past. It all gives me a headache.
I wouldn't do a high concept Star Trek episode without her. It's Brianna Wu picking sixth. Hello.
What's up? You will be assimilated. Okay.
Picking seventh, my compatriot on the Vulcan Hello podcast, it's Scott McNulty.
For my first choice, I will pick Baby Yoda.
Oh, everybody gets Baby Yoda.
That's right.
And I will pick last. I'll pick eighth. And that's how this is going to work. We're going to pick characters from Star Trek. What's the point? I don't know. It's fun. Jim Metzendorf, you get the first pick. You can pick anybody from any era, anything, anywhere in Star Trek. What is your first character pick?
My first character pick was suggested to me by my wife, Jana. And this was a great idea. And you'll find that this ultimately will fit in perfectly to my extremely imperfect show concept. But the character will also help legitimize the Kelvinverse into the mainstream Star Trek canon. My first character is Jayla from Star Trek Beyond.
Oh,
okay.
She is the alien who is stranded on the planet where the Enterprise crew ultimately goes, and she's been living inside of the USS Franklin, scavenging parts, and she's just a really strong, smart character. Mm-hmm. She, by the end of the film, is offered an opportunity to join Starfleet, which again may or may not figure into the overall premise of the series that I'm pitching to you all. But again, it's Jayla. From Star Trek Beyond.
Wow, I didn't expect you to go there, but that's a good one. Thank you, Montgomery Scotty.
Yes.
And David, you're up.
Well, I'm really happy because I wanted to go early. I wasn't sure that anyone would pick this character, but just in case, because the more I thought about what would my concept be, right? I wanted something that would be a good series. The series I came up with, I actually kind of want to do now. and so.
Well, I hope you get all your characters then.
Right.
I know. Well, I got, there's hundreds of them in the series. It's fine. I like possibilities. I like characters that we know a little bit of their history, but not a lot. And perhaps characters we've only just met. And that's why I'm picking Kestra Troy Riker.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Legit.
Because I want to see where she goes from here. We know she was born on the Titan. We know that she lost her brother. We know that they had a magnificent fantasy world, multiple fantasy worlds, in fact. And I have some ideas of what to do with that. And I just like Michael Chabon and his toy box, and I'd like to play there.
I love these choices. This is great, because we could have. There's another universe, a parallel universe, where the first round goes a very obvious way, and we are not that universe, which I think finally something good has come out of 2020, everybody.
Right. Having survived enough of these draft episodes, I'm like, no, I'm not picking Spock. Come on.
Now Spock's still on the board. Moises, it's your choice.
Well, I guess now that David's doing Star Trek babies, I can't, foiled again. My introductory quote came from one of my favorite characters in Star Trek history, who's just a simple tailor. That's what I'll mostly leave it at for those who haven't watched Deep Space Nine, and that is Elim Garak, the Cardassian with a past that unfolds and gets more and more interesting as Deep Space Nine gets more and more interesting. And I'll leave it at that.
Such a
for
good
now.
Character.
So good.
It's a great
have to take him off the board early, or I would risk losing him.
Yep. Yeah, the way this draft is going, that's the kind of character who would get taken very quickly, I think. So, well done.
He was on my long list, so it's Jayla, actually.
Cicero?
So, Jason, I've got to say that I've got 30 characters on my big board.
Yep.
Yep, actually.
None of them.
None of them have been chosen yet. Hey.
Cicero, either you're doing this right, or you have vastly overestimated everything.
Yes, none of them have come off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I am building my crew. And for my captain, I am picking someone with impeccable leadership skills, amazing courage, and thoughtfulness of a professor. And he's not bad on the eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, my captain is Saru.
Okay.
Cicero, you've made me very, very unhappy. That was going to be my sneaky first round pick. Saru is the best. I love him.
He's totally doing this right.
Yes.
He was on my list, but it was a matter of him or Garak. And I just had to flip a coin.
We're all playing chess, and Cicero's playing three-dimensional chess. Oh. Okay.
Some of us are playing Dabo.
Saru.
Some of us are playing Parisi squares.
He doesn't feel fear. He's not motivated by fear anymore, too. So that's a good twist. All right, you got Saru. Gene, it's your choice.
This is such a weird draft already.
Love it.
It's like, pick your favorite characters, you pick your characters you know somebody else wanted, like Saru. Nice one.
Yeah, somebody could still, depending on your strategy here, somebody could still end up with, like, the captains of every single Star Trek.
Yes.
That's the way it's going.
Nobody wants them.
Well, I'm going to go into the... back to the well, the same Discovery well, and go to. I'm going to take Ash Tyler.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Do you like? Do you like that he's a secret Klingon?
I like everything about Ash Tyler. That was my other strategy. Was like, don't just pick the ones you really like have a crush on, but. Oh, well,
too late, Ash Tyler.
By the way, secret Klingon is a pretty good board game.
Mm. All right, Ash Tyler, secret Klingon from Star Trek Discovery. He'll probably be on that Section 31 show too, is my guess.
I think that was supposed to be him and
Georgia
as Michelle Yeoh's second.
Yeah. All right, Bree, what do you have?
So I feel pressure because ordinarily I would go with an obscure pick to show my Star Trek deep level of knowledge. But since Gene is here, I want to be greedy and go and get this player on my team because I'm afraid Gene is going to steal her from me. So my character is going to be 7 of 9.
Yeah.
So take 7.
Yeah.
Right now, I know it's obvious, but she's awesome.
Nah.
She's a great character. Can't play by the rules, but is very strong-minded. So. There it is.
Yeah, her character points went way up too after Picard.
Oh. But she was the best part of that show.
Brianna, I would never take 7 from you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, 7 of 9 is off the board. Scott, the whole universe is laid out before you now. What will you choose?
Well, other than the people that have already been chosen. So a subsection of the universe.
Yeah,
is laid
but were you going to pick any of those, really?
No, I wasn't. So you need to... Much like Cicero, I'm taking my cue from Cicero, and you need a
You're
captain.
Taking cue?
not yet. You need a captain for your Star Trek show.
You do.
And when you think of great Star Trek captains, you think of unconventional thinkers, you think of surprising characters, you think of people who inexplicably have a room full of alien corpses. Gabriel Lorca is my first
choice. Yes. Good choice.
Oh, man. He was on my list too, Scott.
Which Lorca?
Which Lorca?
Lorca? I'm taking, before we know he is, I'm taking the Mirror Universe Lorca, but the one that we don't know is the Mirror Universe Lorca. So before the reveal, but he is still not very nice. Right. But he does have fortune cookies if you need one.
Yes.
Wow, this is I'm feeling bad now. I've had two of my high level picks that I thought were gonna not go sniped from me. I feel like I should get super obvious now just to go the other way.
See how many people go.
Or I could go spectacularly weird.
Joe Piscopo as the comic.
Man, which I've got two concepts here, and now I have to choose which way I want to go. I'm going to go weird is what I'm going to go. That's nice. Why I'm going to lean into it. With my pick, she became a world renowned figure, and started a powerful peace movement in the mid 20th century. Unfortunately, then they went through time had her die in a car accident, but somehow, some way we're going to get Edith Keeler back. So I take Edith Keeler. Okay. May have to recast her. Joan Collins. Might be the right fit. But yes, I take Captain Kirk's great lost love, a historic figure erased by the Guardian of Forever, Edith Keeler. And that's how this draft got started. That's right. It's getting stranger all the time. Back around to the top. Jim, you have Jayla from Star Trek Beyond. What's your next pick?
My next pick is from The Next Generation, a character who appeared on 3 different episodes, and it is the Traveler.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh.
So the Traveler is a character who has the ability to, at least to some extent, but by all appearances, a large extent, has the ability to control space, time, all sorts of things, not to be confused with the Doctor from another famous franchise that we're not picking characters from. But the Traveler is interesting to me because he is an example of a character who I think in a lot of instances... there's always a conflict in Star Trek, right? There's something that goes wrong. There's an antagonist of some type, but he is a character who's extremely powerful and, unlike Q, is a very benevolent being. So Traveler.
Friend to Wesley Crusher. Wesley Crusher's still on the board too, so you could just dive on in there.
Just took Wesley Crusher off the board, sadly.
Yeah. The guy with the creepy space van. Come, Wesley Crusher. Come with me in my creepy space van. Yep.
He did for a while.
Touch my warp bubble.
David, it's your choice now.
Well, speaking of touching my warp bubble and leaping right in, I'm going to pick Wesley Crusher. Not because I'm doing Star Trek Babies, but because when he appeared in Star Trek Nemesis... just in a Starfleet uniform, and people were like, wait a second, I thought he went off with the Traveler. What happened? In a deleted scene, he says that, yes, he's going to be serving as the night engineer on the Titan, as captained by Riker and accompanied by Troy. And I think whatever story I have that would work for these characters, there's got to be a mystery back in the past in the Titan, because that's where Kestra was born. That's where both of the kids were born, as far as I know. And so maybe Wesley has something to do with that. Maybe the Traveler has something to do with it. We don't know, but he's off the board now.
All right. Wesley Crusher and the Traveler have gone first and second in the second round, as everyone expected.
That's right. As it was preordained.
David is working on a Tales of the USS Titan show, by the way. So just pick
actually, Riker, no, that's Troy, the backstory.
Pick Riker and Troy quickly and you'll snipe him. Moises, it's your choice.
God, now what do? Pick the Binars?
They come as a pair. You can. I'll allow you to pick both of them. I'll let you pick 1001 and 1010.
They're a BOGO.
I will generously leave them on the board in favor of another next generation character who was one of the more interesting recurring additions to that show, and that is Ro Laren, the Bajoran with an attitude.
That's right. Is that the only person? Is Michelle Forbes the only person who is a series regular on both a Star Trek show and The Wire? I think possibly so.
And Homicide.
Possibly so.
And Homicide.
Possibly so.
So many.
Was she on The Wire?
No, you're right. She was on Homicide. And then she also Michelle Forbes, she likes to be on for about a year and then she quits.
And then gone.
That's gone. That's right. Ensign Ro. They wanted her to be on DS9 and she wasn't interested.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on my long, long list.
So. Well, that's where you made the mistake, David. That was your fatal error.
That's why she was on the long list, because I knew she wouldn't take the job.
See, this is an incomparable draft tip if you are a longtime listener, is when David said something is on the long list, that's a very nice way of insulting your choice, that it was not.
No. I love Ro Laren. I would totally do a series about her, but...
Yeah, she loves you too. She has a knife ready to stab you. Yeah,
I'm into this.
She told me to give you this. okay. Ensign Ro, Moises has her.
She joined the Maquis. She resigned that commission.
Yeah. I know. She's wherever in time and space that you want to find her. Cicero, your choice.
Yeah, wow. So I'm just going right down the line. This is crazy. So when you need a second in command, you need a number one. So you choose number one, Una.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's right, okay. Number one. As seen again, seen in Discovery and in the original series. So,
right.
Superman, she likes the spicy cheeseburger. We learned that early on. She likes the spicy cheeseburger. One of my favorite weird character bits in Star Trek Discovery is finding her in the replicators, getting a cheeseburger. Love that character. I don't know what the last Star Trek episode we did was, but it may have been the one where we said hashtag they built the sets. And now we know that they're actually going to make a Strange New Worlds TV show with Captain Pike and number one, Rebecca Romijn. So very excited about that. We'll see more.
Man, when my 15-year-old saw the teaser for that when they announced it, he went bananas because he fell in love with both of them.
Yeah.
It's like, I want more adventures with these two.
Well,
and Spock. Oh,
yeah. We're going to get it. And that Spock guy, whatever.
And Spock.
Gene, your choice now.
Unlike the professional storytellers on this panel, I did not have a concept. And I'm just picking things that seem to go together.
Yeah,
it's kind of it feels like a board game more than a draft this go round. So I'm going to pick Jadzia Dex.
Oh, ooh, she was nice. On my list too. Very nice.
And so I have two people who are four people.
sneaky.
So next round, totally Biners.
Right. Oh yeah, they're available. They were left kindly on the board by Moises, so you know that's good.
You're buying in bulk.
All right, Dax is off the board. Jadzia Dax, particularly, you get the package deal there. So comes around to Bree again.
Whew, all right, I feel relieved because none of my picks have been stolen yet. So
that's another way you can insult all the other people in the draft, by the way.
It's high tension because everyone here has good taste, which means they're going to want the same things that I want to pick here. So, okay, do I go obvious or do I just take the best character in all of Star Trek right now? Mm. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take her off the board. Empress Georgiou.
Ooh.
Empress Georgiou. Great best pick. Character,
all right.
Period.
Great pick.
She's yep. off the board.
Yep.
Great pick. I kept her off my list because yeah. she's already got a show coming, and I felt like it would be greedy to have two Georgiou shows. But Bree, I think you're right. Georgiou deserves two shows.
Yeah. Let's do it.
There are two Georgiou's.
There are two Georgiou's. Yeah. You just have to go back in time okay. to grab the other one.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek.
I love the original one. I wish yeah. we got more stories from
yes.
her. Too bad she's dead.
It's too bad she's dead. But at least there's the... and Klingon is her, actually, it turns out. But Star Trek.
Right. Yeah.
It happens.
But you can have her mirror universe alternate, and that'll work too. That'll play.
I'll take it.
Still Michelle.
There's Bell, a novel so. With her that's actually not too bad.
I agree. It's really good.
Scott, what do you have? You already have Captain Lorca and his fortune cookie bowl.
I do.
And his Gorn skeleton.
And his triple.
You can have triples. Triples are free.
Star Trek has a lot of very complex characters, and they have a lot of charismatic characters. I think one of the most charismatic, complex characters in any Star Trek series has got to be, without a doubt, Gul Dukat.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Also has the distinction of killing another character in this draft. So, just points for that.
Wow, that's a great choice. Gul Dukat, love him. So slimy, so smarmy,
yeah.
and yet also so much detail, so brilliant and brilliantly played. I love it.
He just wants to be loved, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all? Don't we all? Except you, Scott.
No.
Not you. Never. Okay, with my choice, because again, I'm going down the super weird conceptual route with my choices, and you're all going to be sorry that she's taken off the board now, but you know what the 23rd century needs more than anything else? Whale scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one in the mid-80s. Her name is Jillian Taylor. She was working at the Cetacean Institute in Sausalito. Unfortunately, she was available and unemployed, frankly, in the 23rd century after being kidnapped / brought forward by Captain Kirk, Admiral / Captain Kirk. So joining Edith Keeler, they can talk about Kirk a little bit, tell a little some Kirk stories.
Yeah,
Jillian Taylor, I need a whale biologist on this show that I'm doing here. So Jillian Taylor, Catherine Hicks from Star Trek IV, she's on my show now. That's it.
When we first came up with this, my first thought was, ooh, I would pick her. And then I just totally forgot about it.
I still think it's weird.
Because I got this idea and went, I want to do this.
I still think it's weird that they bring her forward in time. And that's great because there are no whales on Earth, but now there are whales on Earth. And the first thing they do is put her in a uniform and send her out into space.
Get out of here.
to find where the probe came
maybe,
from.
Or,
the
or like,
other
maybe
whales
there were
are.
Space whales.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be. Turns out
there are space whales in Doctor Who.
There's cetacean ops. They're building cetacean ops.
Yes,
it's all going on. So Jillian
the
Taylor.
Whales don't really need that much attention.
So the title of your series is Star Trek Cetacean Ops, isn't it?
All right, let's take a little break for our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pingdom from SolarWinds. If you've got a website, it probably has a shopping cart. Or a registration form, or maybe a contact us page. Hey, I've got a website. I've got some of those things. If you answered yes to any of those, you need Pingdom because nobody wants their critical website transactions to fail because that's bad. That's bad for your users. It could mean lost business for you. The good news is you can set up transaction monitoring with Pingdom. Transaction monitoring alerts you when cart checkouts, when forms, when login pages aren't working, even if your site is up. Just knowing your site is up, it's not good enough. You need to know people can't check out. People can't register. That's really bad. And you want to know it now before it affects your customers and your business, before complaints pile up, before you get a log the next day that says, we didn't sell anything. That's bad. Pingdom will let you know the moment any of those fail and in whatever way is best for you and your team. You can customize how you're alerted and who is alerted depending on the outage severity. Pingdom cares about your users having the smoothest site experience possible. They know that you do too. They know you want to keep that registration page up, keep that shopping cart working. And so if disaster strikes, Pingdom will be the one that lets you know before anybody else. Super easy to get started. Go to pingdom.com/snell right now. You'll get a 14-day free trial, no credit card required. And when you sign up, use the code SNELL at checkout and get a huge 30% off your first invoice. What a deal. Thank you to Pingdom from the good people at SolarWinds for their support of The Incomparable. Back around to Jim. Jim, you've got Jayla and the Traveler. I have no idea what's happening, so go ahead.
That sounds like a band.
You know, that's actually one of the concepts I thought of for this
draft.
Make
a band?
To make a band. And that's ultimately not why I decided to go. But my next character is the father of one of our beloved Star Trek captains. And that would be Joseph Sisko.
Oh, nice.
We're going to have some gumbo.
Yeah, yes. We are.
Yeah.
And maybe a little jazz.
It's a restaurant now. Oh,
I don't understand how his restaurant works, but.
it's a cashless society, Scott. It doesn't have to work. You just
go there when you're hungry.
We make restaurants because it emboldens the human spirit in some way. That's here in our cashless society.
Right. That's right. Now order up.
The New Orleans adventure is just beginning.
I love it. Yep, Joe Sisko. That's great. That's a great choice. For a character who's not in it a lot. Very fond memories of that character. Also, that's Brock Peters, right? So another one of these actors when he wasn't the president of the Federation.
Technically, you also got Admiral Cartwright.
He was Admiral Cartwright. That's right. It was the dad from that 70s show that was the president of the Federation. It's very confusing. Yes. Federation. David, right. It's your choice.
Well, I'm really happy this character is still on the board. I got a little worried in round two, but I need this character to make the plot work because of a promise she made. I'm picking Kira Nerys.
This is why we draft everybody. It's for people screaming bloody murder when somebody gets taken. Oh, I love
Gul Dukat
it.
Is very upset. That
was so satisfying, and it wasn't even me sniping somebody.
No, I need, you know, I love Ro, but I need Kira Nerys for this plot to work. So there she is.
All right. All right. She's right there with Wesley Crusher and Troy and Riker's kid. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Moises, your choice.
There's a character in Star Trek that I feel deserves so much more credit than they have ever gotten for being unflappable, for being incredibly good at their job, and never getting quite the amount of spotlight that Commander Janice Rand ever got.
Very nice. Very nice.
Clap, 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 clap.
Very nice. Very nice. For people who know the backstory of how terrible Grace Lee Whitney was treated on the original series, every time I see her in those little cameo roles in the movies, I feel like it's like the apology to her. Right. It's like, we'll put you in here and we're going to give you a promotion and we're going to take you seriously. And we're sorry.
Seriously weak apology.
Well, I mean, it wasn't Roddenberry, right, at that point. So it was the other people saying, we're going to do something nice for you because you were treated so badly by Gene Roddenberry.
I love that she got to do something for real in the flashback episode of Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that she actually got more than two lines.
One of my fondest hopes is that Janice Rand has something to do on Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
Oh, that would be cool. Hmm. Cicero, your choice.
Speaking of cool ideas.
Thank you, Cicero.
Let's hear your ideas.
Thank you. Here's a high five for you, brother.
Right on.
Everybody back away.
Yeah.
Cicero is here. Things are serious now.
Right. My crew may get into some scrapes, and when you have a boo-boo,
you
need a doctor.
You need a doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need a doctor who is well-versed in all sorts of medicine. You need a doctor like the EMH.
Ah.
Of course.
Quality.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Good choice.
Which one?
I will say
he can appear in pretty much any era.
Something that hasn't happened in this draft, but that came up on a previous episode was the idea of creating a TV show that's literally just all the doctors from Star Trek. So it could have done.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is that which I think actually would be kind of awesome. But yes, please state the nature of the medical emergency. The doctor.
Yes.
Emergency medical hologram. Great. Great choice. Gene, what do you have?
I've got, I'm glad to say that my pick is still out there. I am choosing Commander Captain Chris Rios from Star Trek Picard.
Okay. Nice. I thought about choosing him. He's a fun, you know, he has that dark backstory that drove him out of Starfleet, but, you know, he's the, smuggler with a heart of gold. I like him. Everybody likes
him. I think
Solo.
I have 10 people in my crew. So,
right.
I was going to ask, does he come with all his holograms?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, yes, just a lot does. Of holograms.
Yeah. Bree, it's your choice. What do you have for us?
Oh, see, this is where I'm glad. So, okay. So, this character is very critical to my very awesome and not stupid plot whatsoever.
Definitely not so, stupid. That's always good in your pitch session all. With a TV executive too. By the way,
exactly.
I think you'll like this. It's not stupid.
It's not stupid. So you may have noticed a motif with all of my characters, which is why I was screaming when Kieran Reese was taken, because I happen to like characters that are strong women that don't take any nonsense. So fortunately, there's still one to take here. And that would be T'Pol from Star Trek Enterprise.
Ah, nice.
Very, very good one. What I like about T'Pol is she really had an arc. And a lot of the Vulcan characters on Star Trek don't have arcs the way that T'Pol had an arc. Like, she really had to learn her own identity outside of the Vulcan Science Directorate. And she, very strong-willed, very competent, just a fantastic character. And now she's on my team.
All right. I see where you're going here, but yes, I also see why you shouted. And that's, I get it. Sometimes that's the draft format. Sometimes you're foiled, and you just have to move to your contingency plans. It works. It's fine. Scott.
That's why we have 30 choices.
Scott, you have Lorca and Gul Dukat. You are making a cranky, cranky group of people, which I appreciate.
It's true. Now, I don't know how this next pick is going to interact with Lorca or Gul Dukat. I'm making this up as I go along. But if anyone has listened to any Star Trek podcast in which I appear, you know one thing about my love of Star Trek and a particular character. I feel as though if I were in Star Trek and a Star Trek character, I would be, you know, a little awkward because I am. And I just wouldn't be as competent and as aggressive as our friend Star Trek characters are. So what I'm saying is I would be Reginald Barkley. And I am picking probably not as smart as Reg, frankly, but... he is my next pick. And of course, you know, you can't think of a more iconic triumvirate than Gabriel Lorca, Gul Dukat, and Reginald Barkley.
I would watch the hell out of that show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You kidding?
Sounds good. You know, Scott, you just started talking, and I was like typing in Reginald Barkley now. Like, we all knew it.
I got worried that someone else was going to pick him.
Yeah, it could be. All right. My weird premise has to have somebody to kind of put it all together, to make it all happen. Who is that person? Somebody who despite her occasional panic attacks, is somebody who ultimately is going to make an excellent Starfleet captain. And along the way, she's going to make us all laugh with the funny thing she says. It's Sylvia Tilly from Star Trek Discovery. I
that
love her.
On my list.
She is great. Somebody's got to have their act together for the dumb premise that I'm coming up with. That'll be part of my pitch. Is this is really dumb. So anyway, I'm gonna go with Tilly.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I love her. I love her. Then my show, whatever it is going to be funnier because of the presence of Tilly. Go back around to the top for the fourth round, Jim. You've got Joe Sisko, the Traveler, and Jayla. What is next?
All right. Next character is one of the most beloved Voyager characters, certainly. One of the most exciting, enthusiastic, charismatic characters on that show. Of course, I'm talking about Harry Kim.
You sniped him from me.
I'm certain I did.
So. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Every crew needs a Kenny. Oh,
that's
man.
Right. I considered a redemption arc crew that included him, Malcolm Reed, various others.
Yes.
Oh. You can have whichever Harry Kim you want. You can have the one who got blown out into space right. and died, the one who came from a duplicate parallel quantum universe and survived, the one from the future who was unhappy, the one who was in the ice planet and unhappy. There's so many Harry Kims out there.
The one who captained the medical ship, too.
A rich tapestry of Harry Kims.
So many Harry Kims. Yes. And Jim, yes. You get all of them. Congratulations.
I may get all of them, but I'm only keeping plain old forever ensign Harry Kim.
Plain old Harry Kim. Well
plain
said.
Plain old forever Harry ensign. Kim.
Kim classic.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. David, your choice.
I'm very happy this guy is still on the board, too, because he's kind of one of the linchpins of this mystery, this concept I've got going on. And it's who Kira made that promise to. It's Thomas Riker, who when last we saw him was being taken away to a labor camp in the Cardassian Empire, and she said, "I'll come back for you, I promise." And now that the Cardassian Empire is not what it used to be, who's to say that the labor camps are what they used to be? And this isn't this is not quite an uncle, but someone that Kestra has heard about and has no idea what he is. And so she's curious. Mm. So, yeah, Thomas Riker.
Tom Riker. Transporter accidents, they happen. What can you say?
That's right.
They happen.
Sometimes you get a Tom Riker. Sometimes you get a evil dog.
It's true.
So sometimes you get Kirk. I'm Kirk. Anyway. I'm Captain Kirk.
Moy says it's
you
your choice.
You have to get it right.
With a number of picks that have gone to characters that... That people wanted to see more of, I'm glad that that one of mine didn't get grabbed, and that is Tasha Yar, who had more stories to tell other than the limited number of season one bits that we got with her. Yes, same actress playing her half-Romulan daughter in later seasons. Sure, fine. I'm talking Tasha Yar, mm-hmm. the original chief of security on the Enterprise-D.
And the way Anakin hates sand, she really hates oil.
Yeah, the worst. It's everywhere. Cicero, your choice.
Oh, man. So I've had quite the choice here. I'm afraid that one of my picks will get stolen. But this one won't. Sometimes you're out in space and you need to beat some people up.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you need to investigate things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you always have Odo.
Yeah, you do. Sometimes you just got to beat people up in space. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's just a fact, people. You don't have to like it. It's just the truth.
Yeah, it's just what you got to do, man.
It's what you got to do. Oh, Constable Odo.
I have to say, one of the things I love about Deep Space Nine is that you have these actors. You have Avery Brooks, who at the time was really known as Hawk from Spencer for Hire, going around beating people up. And you had Rene Auberjonois, and you cast Rene Auberjonois as the guy who goes beating people up in space.
Right.
That's brilliant. That is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Gene.
Okay. I need to pick a Voyager person.
Mm-hmm.
It's been three picks.
Harry Kim is gone, I'm sorry to say.
I know.
Sorry, Gene.
I mean, I know that, yeah. You can laugh about Harry, but I've been thinking about, I still don't really have like the, who's really going to be the leader, because Rios, while, he is good at, captaining his own little ship, doesn't seem to be the best in terms of big leadership qualities. And I need somebody to do that. And Harry Kim is off the board. I don't think Janeway would get along with this crew very well, so I'm going to pick Tuvok.
Tuvok. All right.
He's on my list.
Logical.
Yeah.
Very Eminently. Nice. Like Tuvok. He worked with Sulu too, so, he's got some connections everywhere. Bree, your choice.
Okay, I'm worried I'm about to set a precedent that could break The Incomparable forever. So, but I'm married to Frank, and he's taught me that you push legal precedents just to float a trial balloon.
Look, I once allowed the Dance the Robot to be chosen in a robot draft, so I don't know what you could do to break us, but give it a try.
Can I pick Mirror Mirror Universe, Kieran Reese?
The Intendant?
Why not? She's a character. In Star Trek.
Woo!
We have Mirror Giorgio and Mirror Lorca.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've already got it. Yeah, you'll be our third Mirror Universe choice. Yes, you got it. Awesome. You got it. David's got one Kira, you've got the other.
So Mirror Nerys.
Yes.
Yes. Intended.
Yeah. Intended, yeah. She's
a tough woman that has trouble following the rules.
She does.
And she has an amazing wardrobe.
She does that too. She does not recognize any social boundaries whatsoever.
Yep.
Nope. Yep. Not interested. Scott, what do you have?
So I have a lot of testosterone on my crew. So I need to tamper that with a strong female character. And speaking of excellent wardrobe, when you think excellent wardrobe, you have to think one of the best TNG characters, Guinan.
Oh,
I will serve you a drink and give you a lot of advice and solve all your problems.
While wearing a gray thing with a hat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Guinan. That's good. She's going to be, I hear she's going to be on Picard season 2, too.
So. Yes.
Supposedly, yeah.
Get along with Guinan.
I'm looking forward to Guinan and Seven of Nine getting...
I don't think Guinan gets enough credit for injecting some real interest into TNG when they were tinkering with the formula after the first couple of seasons. But she really, in watching that show back, it's like Whoopi Goldberg shows up and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. Yes. They built a bar, they got a bartender, this is a show now.
I remember when they announced it, and you know, sort of like, really?
Right.
And the first line out of her mouth on the show, and you're like, yes, I get it.
And she stabbed Q in the hand with a fork. So,
yeah. But when you said fashion, I thought, is he going to pick Lwaxana Troi?
Well, I've already.
I mean, she's
got
still
Odo,
on the
so.
Board. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, I am going with. Guess what, everybody? I am also choosing somebody from the Mirror Universe. I am also choosing an emperor from the Mirror Universe. I am choosing Empress Hoshi Sato.
She's so great.
I am. I much to my own surprise, but she's sitting right there, and I kind of want her on my team. So yeah. Empress Hoshi Sato from that great Mirror Universe two-parter on Star Trek Enterprise. Join the crew.
Oh, so much fun.
Okay, we are going to go around one last time, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you tell me your premise, and if you need to add some characters, go ahead and do that. This will serve as the bring out your dead round if you want it to be, but in this case, it's not bring out your dead, it's bring out your other characters that are in your premise. So that way we'll kill two birds with one stone. Jim, you had Jayla, the Traveler, Joseph Sisko, and Harry Kim. Please explain yourself.
All right. So my Star Trek series, which is going to be a totally real official part of the Star Trek franchise.
CBS All Access needs so many shows. I would not be surprised if all of these shows are picked up. So get ready. Take this seriously.
Some of them are already in production.
Yeah, possibly.
So my show for the Star Trek franchise is called Star Trek Franchise.
Tell me more.
And in this series, Harry Kim continues to be down on his luck. It's been 17 years since Voyager returned home. He is still an ensign. But there's hope. He has a mission. A mission that, given the economy, or perhaps lack thereof, in the Federation, was almost certain to fail. But it's a mission that he accepts with as much enthusiasm as he can muster, which is not much. But his mission is to help Joe Sisko establish a franchise of Cajun restaurants throughout the Alpha Quadrant. So, we do have one other character that I'll add to the show as a series regular to round things out, and then I'll explain the roles that everyone plays here. And that final character is Keiko O'Brien. And the reason why Keiko is such an important part of this show is because she's educated and trained as a botanist. So she understands plant life, and thus, presumably, hopefully, edible plants that can be grown and sustained on alien worlds. Because as we know, Joe Sisko is all about the fresh ingredients.
Yeah, it's all farm to table with Joe Sisko. Yeah.
Right.
Right, exactly. So Keiko is going to be there to really help with that for each one of these worlds on which he establishes a franchise for his restaurant.
So is every week starting a franchise on a new planet in the Federation? A new restaurant in the franchise?
That is exactly right.
Oh, man.
And so exactly space farm to space right. table.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so not only is she a botanist, but she's also a teacher as well. She's very well-rounded and very resourceful. So she's going to be a big part of things. Now, you might wonder, why is Jayla there? Well, I wonder too. I don't know why.
We need an enforcer.
Traveler.
I mean, why not?
I guess they get to place the traveler. I don't know.
You need to have somebody with engineering chops, which Jayla had in spades. Mm-hmm. And you need to have somebody with some muscle, which she also had in spades. So that's why we have Jayla on the show. And the other reason is we need to be able to get to potentially very far away planets quickly. Our ship might not be able to get to each destination in time every week.
Right. You don't need a ship if you have the traveler to take you from place to place. Mm.
So we're just going to have the traveler think us to the new planets.
He's your TARDIS in your Doctor Who show that is about establishing restaurants.
Exactly.
He's bigger on the inside.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, just one more. It is just a thin mint. It is wafer thin.
Exactly.
It's fine. I'm bigger on the inside.
Yeah. So we have the muscle slash the engineer with Jayla. Because, you know, there's going to be engineering issues in the kitchens and the restaurant logistics.
Sure. Yeah, different you have atmospheres, gravities.
Yeah, exactly. You have the traveler, who is the ship. Mm-hmm. You have Joe Sisko, who is the chef and proprietor.
Of course.
You have Harry Kim, who is really trying to make that big promotion to Lieutenant JG.
So he's the idea man, basically.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to make
He's the idea man. He's the facilitator. He is the ambassador in this instance. Now,
all right.
He thinks of himself as the ambassador. Of course, he's not an ambassador. That would be, like, way too high ranking for him in status. But he's there, and he's driving the bus.
Okay.
And then we have Keiko. So that's my show.
Star Trek. Franchise.
Franchise.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Very good.
All right, David, you had Kestra Troy Riker, Wesley Crusher, Kira Nerys, and Tom Riker.
Well, I have this idea that there are multiple mysteries in different eras, right? You have your whatever this mystery is on the Titan. So that's what involves Wesley originally. Mm-hmm. You have Kestra learning more and more about her parents' time on the Titan, and perhaps, you know, listening to old ship's logs or reading up on the history. And she starts to realize that some of these fantasy worlds and fantasy ideas that her late brother wrote and that they played as children are actually from the past, from that time on the Titan. And she wants to try and figure out, how much of these are real? Are they real? At the same time, she discovers there's this guy named Thomas Riker that she's never heard about. And what are her parents hiding from her about this guy? Meanwhile, you have Kira, who just assumes that, you know, Thomas Riker is dead and, you know, whatever happened. But in investigating this, Kestra reaches out to her and says, you're the last place he was seen. You're the last place anybody knows where he was. And she starts to look into it. She starts to get that itch of, well, I did promise. And, you know, I got tied up with Bajor and running Deep Space Nine and doing all this. And of course, they pull Wesley in. Wesley is perhaps he's moved up in rank. Who knows? I kind of, this is crazy. This is like the weird concept that if you had told me I would pick this guy, I would have been like, no. But I kind of want to have the future guy from Enterprise as someone to, you know, is it really the same future guy giving information? Is it really as they keep trying to say, oh, no, we thought it was going to be Jonathan Archer from the future trying to screw up his past. Maybe it's really Jonathan Archer, but not trying to screw up his past. Who knows? But, you know, you have to have a little deus ex machina to sort of move the plot along in leaps and bounds.
Right.
So bring in the future guy.
So it's Kestra unraveling the secret of Thad Riker's logs.
Exactly. And I was trying to think of a title for it. And I was thinking, you know, Beyond the Stars. Well, it's kind of generic. And, you know, what was it? Across the Divide. That's also generic. And then I realized a lot of references in the Nepenthe episode of Star Trek Picard, tie back to Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. And I went, Star Trek, there and back again. Because that hits a long journey. It hits multiple stories across multiple eras that all tie together in a solution.
All right.
And I kind of want to do it now. Son of a gun.
Okay. Star Trek, there and back again. And we'll throw in future guy for you. Moises, what's your concept? You have Garrick, Ro Laren, Janice Rand, Commander Janice Rand, and Tasha Yar.
Jason, let me take you back to a draft that we did some time ago, or maybe it was just, I don't know what we classified it as. It was a Star Trek episode. We were talking about, you know, best and worst, this and that. And I picked who I thought was the best Star Trek captain. And this is no C-list character, but they came from the Enterprise C. And that is Captain Rachel Garrett. Mm-hmm. And she is the linchpin to my crew that ties into an episode of Deep Space Nine called Trials and Tribulations, where Ben Sisko says, the last thing I want is a visit from Temporal Investigations. So my crew is from what you could say is the red correction pen crew, of Temporal Investigations. People, some of them, their deaths are well known, and they are snatched before their actual chronological deaths and explained, look, this is what's going to happen. This is how it is. It's a fixed point in time. This is why all this is important. And they are effectively, not like Suicide Squad. They're not criminals. But they are people who know how to get stuff done and who can be trusted with missions just this important. Had I chosen other characters, I would have 100% gone with the new Strange New Worlds, Christopher Pike, as played by Anson Mount. Mm-hmm. I would have brought in Prime Universe Philippa Giorgio, Prime Universe Lorca, Kalar from Star Trek TNG, and Tylek Shran.
Yes, Shran.
Because we needed more Shran. Shran was the best part of that show.
Yeah, easily.
Along with Empress Hoshi.
So, Star Trek Temporal Investigations, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Temporal Investigation Bureau, something like that.
We've already got a Section 31 show coming. These are the continuity cops.
Yeah, not Star Trek Time Cop.
Not to give you anything away, Moises, but your pitch is perilously close to my pitch, so we may have to work on some ways of it, but we'll get there. Cicero.
Crossover event.
You have Saru, number one, the Doctor, and Odo.
Yeah, so when this crew is out, they're going to potentially be involved in just all sorts of crazy situations. They don't know where they'll be. And, you know, sometimes you need an engineer who can not only think outside the box, but he can see the things that you just can't see.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got that awesome visor, and his name is Jordy LaForge.
Oh.
And so these guys, picture it, guys. This is a Saturday morning cartoon. All of these guys are animated a la Star Trek meets Voltron or some kind of goofy stuff where they are constantly trying to thwart the plans of Harcourt Fenton Mudd, who is constantly doing all sorts of things that just confound everyone. And every week, an admiral calls them a la the chief in Carmen Sandiego to let them know what Harry Mudd has done this time. And I'd like to introduce you to my favorite Saturday morning cartoon show, Star Trek Stuck in the Mud.
I want to workshop that title with you only because I might want you to try to call it Mud Squad, where the squad has two D's at the end.
There you go.
Right. But we can go with it. Mud puns is all I really ask. Right. We gotta do mud puns.
I got to say, before I came up with this concept that I really, really liked, I did kind of want to see a version of It Takes a Thief with Harry Mudd, you know, where he's forced by Starfleet to go and do capers, but he doesn't get to benefit from them, you know. That would be fun, too.
All right. Stuck in the Mud. I'm going to throw in Jordy and Harry Mudd. Great. Gene, what's you had Ash Tyler, Jadzia Dax, Chris Rios, and Tuvok.
Oh, this is going to be a CW show.
Yeah. I mean, Gene has basically the most crushable crew so far.
It's true. Okay, so I was going to throw one more crew member from a crew that I hadn't picked from yet into it, and that's Deanna Troi. And the series is sort of a la, you know, it's like a cable series about people who go and do extraction, Star Trek extraction. So around the universe, there are people, not unlike our cast, who have sort of dual personalities or dual heritages or need, you know, to those people are isolated and the societies they live in don't trust them or don't like them, but we all know they're like the best, most useful Starfleet officers there could be. And so my team goes around and finds these people and convinces them to join Starfleet. Usually they have to save them from some horrible, you know, backstabbing mob that is going to kill them. And so, yeah. So Deanna figures out, she senses. Mm. Tuvok is the adult in the room, mm-hmm. you know, and Ash and Jadzia and Chris, like, they get it. And they're the ones who go down, you know, they're boots on the ground, finding the people and saving them.
Oh, I'll say they get it.
And they're looking fabulous while they do it, too. So, excellent.
That's right.
Okay, extraction.
Totally coincidental.
Bree, you had Seven of Nine, Empress Giorgio, T'Pol, and Mirror Kira Nerys, the intendant.
That's right, I did. Y'all, I want to introduce you to my very serious, not stupid, Star Trek series, Wrath of Revengeance. This is a very, very serious series. Okay, so we cut back. I want you to imagine we go back in time and it's after Star Trek Enterprise era. It's after their mission ended, and T'Pol is just hanging out. She's back on Vulcan, and then all of a sudden, she's not on Vulcan. She's in the future, because Daniels, the temporal agent, Daniels from the third season of Enterprise that took Archer and T'Pol and helped warn them about the Zindi, he's found a new temporal Cold War threat, and he has to take T'Pol out of the past and into the Star Trek Next Generation timeline, into the future, because Vulcans only live 250 years. And then they keep going forward, so then they meet up with Seven of Nine, who's now like Voyager's back home, and she's doing her own thing with the Rangers, and she's out there, she's doing her thing. So they meet up, and they're like, hey, you know, we're two awesome women that can't follow rules. Let's go find out this plot that's going against the Vulcan Time Directive. So what's happening is the Borg are taking over Cardassia, and no one knows why. So then they go over there to Cardassia, and then boom, oh my god, there's Mira Mira Ensign Ro. She's there too. She's an evil temporal agent from the future. So then they meet up with Mira Mira Kira Nerys, and they start trying to figure all of this out, and it turns out the control from Star Trek Discovery has come back on a Cardassian freighter, and now they're to fight all of it. Right, it's great. and now they're just as control is about to destroy all of them. Boom! Empress George Jo shows up to save the day in Star Trek: Wrath of Revengeance.
Oh man, it really writes itself, and right. I feel free. You made me feel like I was like a kid on the playground with my Star Trek action figures again, and that's a good feeling. So that was really awesome.
You mean, but in a serious,
but in a very like, serious, not dumb way.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. A very serious, yes. Not stupid right. way.
Scott, okay, you had Captain Lorca, Gul Dukat, Reg mm-hmm. Barkley, and mm-hmm. Kynan.
Of course. I don't know why you would pick any other people.
Mm-hmm,
I really, Scott, like your A-Team reboot. Thank you. title card, Star Trek Birthright. We cut to some kind of mysterious dark office. There's a Cardassian that we've never met before sitting behind a desk. He is reading something from a Cardassian data rod. The camera turns. Gul Dukat has a look of shock on his face when he finds out that his distant relatives have left him in their will a building, but the only stipulation is, oh boy, he has to keep the tenants who are already in there and deal with their wacky trials and tribulations.
Oh, no.
That's right. Gul Dukat now owns the building that Gabriel Lorca, Reg Barkley, and Guinan live in, and there is an empty first floor apartment that every week can be rented out to a new Star Trek character, like when Q shows up, and
sure.
When Picard needs to rest, he does the Airbnb, and he ends up in Gul Dukat's building, and it's just week after week of zaniness, where you know Reg Barkley is the super of the building, and Gul Dukat and Reg do not get along, and so you know it just writes itself.
Well, I was going to say, do Guinan and Reg and Lorca share an apartment like Three's Company? Because then you get even more hijinks.
David, don't be ridiculous.
No, across the hall from each other.
It's Melrose Place.
Scott, thank you for teeing me up with your very serious premise before my very, very, very serious.
You're welcome.
After Bree and Scott, this is going to be a breeze. So I need a few new characters. So I had Edith Keeler, Gillian Taylor, Sylvia Tilly, and Empress Hoshi Sato. I need a few other characters, so I'm going to get Zara Beth, the cave woman who fell in love with Mr. Spock. I need Vina from The Cage. I need Roberta Lincoln, Terry Garr from that episode with sure. Gary Seven in it. And yeah. And also from that same episode, I'm going to get Isis the cat, who is actually a shapeshifting alien.
Yeah. Yes.
They are joining Empress Hoshi Sato, Sylvia Tilly, Gillian Taylor, and Edith Keeler in my new show. Oh, wait, there is one other character I need to bring in here. Mr. Atos. Because the show is Mr. Atos and the Guardians of Forever, where every week Mr. Atos, who has studied history and has been pulled out of time to solve problems in time using the Guardian of Forever and his crack team of agents, the aforementioned women that I mentioned. They will go back in time in teams of two, three, or four and solve, I don't know, time travel stuff using the Guardian of Forever. So Mr. Atos and the Guardians of Forever, that's my show. Please send the check to my house.
I like that.
Federation High Command heard about all of this, and that's why my team got composed. So there's an inevitable conflict down the road. I think we've set up a great two series concept.
Yeah, what I'm really trying to say is it's like Doctor Who if the TARDIS was just like a big donut.
A hole.
On a planet with ruins that was invented by Harlan Ellison.
It's a really good idea.
So there, we have really moved Star Trek forward here, people.
We did it.
I'm just saying.
Did we pick a single main series captain or first officer?
Nope.
No.
No.
Nope.
No. We did it right. Kira went the other way.
Kira was
Kira.
The first officer.
Kira. First Kira. Officer. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We went the other way, and that's okay. It's okay.
And a future guy is Jonathan Archer. I don't know who he is.
And Saru. Saru.
Saru. Saru.
It's not officially a captain.
Yeah.
But he's a first officer. He should have been.
Yeah.
He should have been.
So anyway, what we're saying is Alex Kurtzman, call us. We have some really good ideas about Star Trek. and with that, I just want to thank my panelists for constructing these amazing collections of Star Trek characters. Jim Metzendorf, thank you for being here.
Peace and long life.
David J. Lohr, thank you.
There are always possibilities.
Moises Chuyan, thank you.
My team's finally going to solve that whole ridges, no ridges Klingon thing.
That finally. Cicero Holmes, thank you.
The Stuck in the Mud breakfast cereal will actually have bits of mud.
Two D's. Two D's. Gene McDonald, thank you.
Yeah, I stick with Janeway. This gives me a headache, all this time travel.
Brianna Wu, thank you.
I have to say the Wrath of Revengeance vehicles are going to be lit when they come out.
Amazing. The merchandising possibilities are enormous. Just wow. Scott McNulty, thank you, as always, for talking about Star Trek with me.
Did I mention Guinan's wrecked a Geno shop in the building?
It's on the first floor. There's a little commercial thing, and she puts in a wrecked a Geno shop. I think the story writes itself. And I have been your host, Jason Snell. Mr. Atos and the Guardians of Forever, not coming anywhere soon or later to your TV or whatever. And thank you all for listening to this all individually, dear listeners. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. We talked about Star Trek. It was fun. And we'll be back next week with something else. But until then, goodbye.